This is the E-Square Podcast recording live from the Junction Complex. You are now making a worldwide connection.
Elevate your mind. Expand your thinking.
And so my fellow Americans.
It's the E-Square Podcast.
E-Square Podcast, I'm Easy Mo, and today we got the legendary DJ, Bonix. How you doing, bro?
I'm not legendary yet.
You are, bro.
Not yet.
I don't think there's really any question.
What's that even mean, though?
That means, what does that mean? What does legendary mean? You'll be remembered, like you'll go down as one of the greats?
Too young to be a legend.
Do you think so?
No, I don't know.
No.
That's cool. If someone wants to call me legendary, that's cool.
Yeah, does that make you feel weird?
No, it would used to make me feel weird. I think I'm comfortable with however anyone wants to perceive me.
Yeah. Well, you've accomplished a lot so far.
Yes. Yeah. I'd say that I've experienced a lot.
You know what I mean?
But I'm still trying to pay rent. This year has been rough, you know?
Yeah. No, for sure. All right. So are you moved to Vegas now?
I just moved to Vegas.
Oh, congratulations. Woo! Welcome. Yeah. Usually I would tell you to go the fuck back home because Vegas is being invaded. But you, my friend, are...
By Filipinos.
Yeah, for sure. And these Californians, man, it's just too much. But you get a special pass, bro.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll give you the G pass, bro.
I appreciate that.
No, for sure, man. So that's cool. I've seen you out here a lot, but I didn't know if you moved here.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I wouldn't choose, like, if someone was like, would you move to Las Vegas? I don't know. Yeah. That doesn't mean that. I just don't know anything about it. All I know is the strip. Mm-hmm. But already in this week that I've lived here.
Mm-hmm. It's that early, huh?
It's literally what day is it today? Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
It's, I can't do the math, but it's like 9 days in.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I have eaten at a Filipino restaurant like at least 4 out of the 9 days. So,
so do you like it? What's your overall?
Of course, I like it. Yeah. Well, in Minnesota, there's probably like 1.5. That's where I used to live.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have Filipino restaurants out here.
Oh yeah, it's no shortage of that for sure.
Mm, yes.
Yeah, man. So is the heat bothering you? You came just in time at the end of the summer.
No, not at all, because it's like dry heat, and I lived in Minnesota for the last 4 years. So
yeah, it's a different kind of heat out here.
It's a different experience. I mean, I just take it all as a new experience, you know?
Yeah, for sure. You know, let's toast up, man. You peer pressured me into smoking some weed, so I'm a little stoned right now. So if anybody's out there and is like, why does he sound like that? It's because Bonix.
Toast.
Bonix peer pressures me.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
This is a pretty great table right here.
I wonder who made it.
did you make this table?
Well, funny you ask, bro. Yeah, I actually did. Yeah. If you need any custom tables, I'm the guy, man.
No. Custom tables. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Episode's over. Did you drink?
Not yet.
Oh.
I have an idea, though.
Shoot.
I'm trying to stop saying the word you know.
Okay.
You know when you see, I just said that.
Yeah.
So when you talk, you say that word. I'm trying to like get. It used to be or like for some.
Yeah, you know is like you say something and then you're like your brain is like kind of unsure what you said and then you need like reaffirmation that what you said wasn't total bullshit. Maybe?
I don't know. I think it's just a crutch word.
Oh, okay, I got you.
And I'd hate to. I'm going to try to keep the you knows to a minimum. Okay. So if someone's counting I have a counter.
Okay. Yeah. I'll try to take a mental note.
That'll make me stop that though. Yeah. Cause then I don't want that counter to be high.
Is there a limit to the amount of you knows?
I mean, if there's like 100 you knows in a podcast, that's a lot. And that's possible because I have friends that say you know a lot.
Yeah. You might need to seek help if you got a 100 you knows in one conversation.
Someone called it, you know, a virus. I'm telling you.
That's some good stuff.
All right.
Cheers, brother.
Thank you. I didn't drink yet.
No, you didn't. Ah, man. It's great to have you here, bro. It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Shout out to my boy, Sal. Mm-hmm. Fucking great guy, man. Introduced us.
True story. We were at Dre's. We were at Cromwell the other night, like 2 days ago. I DJed a Sunday night. And so Sal came and he showed me how to play Keno. And I had no idea what he's doing. He put a $20 bill in and literally 3 minutes later, he won $800.
No way.
And I told him to cash out immediately.
Fucking Sal.
And he didn't get me any of it, which is crazy.
Oh, what?
You know, I invited him to... No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I don't need to.
Well, usually, like, you know, I've won money with people, and then, like, they've given me, like, half of it. I'm like, damn. kind of felt bad about taking it, but
nah,
yeah, it's free money. It's not like they work for it, you know?
Nah, I don't want Sal's money.
Yeah.
I love Sal.
Yeah. I would definitely expect Sal to give you some, though. I'm kind of surprised. He's such a nice guy,
he
man.
He's picked me up a couple times, he lives like 40 minutes from me, so.
Yeah, we love you, Sal. We love you, Sal.
Yeah, shout out to Sal.
Yeah, man. It was really good to see you the other day, or run into you at Dizzy Rice party.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, man. Are you familiar with his music?
Not so much, but he did open up for us. We did Red Rocks.
Just recently.
He was cool.
Yeah. He's like the god of the city out here for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. We've as the stoner community. Obviously, I'm not a traditional stoner, but I smoke weed. Yeah, we've been looking forward to a Wiz and Dizzy song, man. Shameless plug. I'm not trying to not part of the Still Moving crew. I'm not part of his crew, just as a fan. We've been that's long overdue, man, for sure.
Okay.
For sure. I just wanted to put that in the universe.
Yeah, I need to get familiar with his music more. So I met him for the first time. I've heard the name definitely ring off for a while, but I just never really had a chance to dive in.
Yeah, he's been around for a long time. He's on XXL. But so you moved to Vegas, you like it here. What's up with Hardeen, man? You in there with the Hardeen?
I jumped into the marketing program my official title, they're like, what do you want your title to be?
You have a title?
They gave me a title.
Whoa.
Well, first of all, I was like repping the Hardeen brand for the last few years. Mm-hmm. I met my man D, who kind of brought me in, and met Adam, the owner. And then it's been so crazy to see it grow, to see who's become a part of it, and then to become a part of it myself. And since I've been DJing for 22 years.
Damn.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Legend. Told you, bro.
Wow, that was he's old, damn, wasn't it?
No.
That was cool. That was cool. That was
What? There you go. There you go.
It was though. It wasn't the other word.
That's
a
good start.
It wasn't the other word.
That's a good start, bro.
Now I'm saying Director of Strategic Partnerships.
That's what you are?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I work with some of the best DJs in the whole country and also try to find ways to market Hardeen or match our lifestyle with people that are doing things like the High Rollers Tournament. Have you heard of that?
No, man.
Oh, it's happening here in Vegas.
I need to get my money up for that one.
No, it's cool. It's actually like rolling, like jujitsu.
I don't know if you're into. I have done jujitsu before.
Yeah, and so people get high and then they roll. So it's a tournament,
like a nightmare.
It's an amazing space. Like they have an awesome space. So actually, this Saturday they're doing cops. Versus stoners.
I did see the flyer.
So that's really cool. And the proceeds go to Adopt a Cop, and there's going to be like 10 stoners and 10 cops. And normally they're smoking weed before they roll. That's the tournament. But since it's cops.
Well, it's legal, right? Are they going to be like weird about it?
I think they're just trying to respect it in there.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
God, police, man. Just let people smoke weed already. Fuck.
I think they do for the most part.
Yeah. So director or strategic partners. Yeah, is this your first job you've ever had? First real job you've ever had?
My first job was a dishwasher.
Whoa.
That was fun.
That's always fun. So when was that? Was it like
High school job? I was 13.
Damn, you were a 13-year-old dishwasher?
Can I tell you something weird? It's probably
Is that even legal?
You're probably going to be like, ew.
Yeah.
Like if people didn't like finish the other half of like a perfectly good sandwich or like a half of a pizza.
Oh yeah.
I would like pack it up.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I was a busboy for a while. We used to do that all the time.
Of course. Yeah. I don't know if that was weird. I think maybe it would take a bite real quick.
If you haven't been behind like those doors to go to the back of the kitchen, you wouldn't understand.
I'll admit that. I took a bite out of a sandwich that someone didn't finish.
I've eaten steaks, bro. I've eaten pizza, bro. I'll eat the crust at the pizza. No, I didn't go that far. But yeah, don't feel weird about that, bro. It's all right.
I actually did that in Chicago once, right? I don't know if you ever had Chicago deep dish.
No, I've never been to Chicago, unfortunately.
Well, it's pretty good. It's like a pie.
Right.
And the people next to me were leaving a whole half of a Chicago deep dish pizza. And I asked the waitress, I was like, can I take that?
I
don't want to waste food.
Nah, bro. I grew up working in restaurants like my whole 20s. And I used to take there's so much wasted food at the end of the night. I used to take it and give it to the homeless people, right? Because I was like, all this wasted food, just throwing this away. Like, there's, you know, I worked on the strip, so it's homeless people everywhere.
Right.
But if somebody told me, like, that's illegal, can't do it. Because homeless people's stomachs can't, like, handle all that heavy, like, all those, I guess, all the ingredients.
So they're just exploding?
Yeah, so I guess, like, they're, like, fucking, it's like giving a pigeon rice or something. You know, I don't know, but I had to stop.
They're like, listen, the shitters are full.
Yeah, bro. Wow. Yeah, my uncle's homeless. You know, it's crazy. My uncle's homeless, and he said, like, don't do that, because you'll make them sick. You'll make them sick.
Wow.
Yeah, because a lot of them.
I've never heard that before.
I know, yeah, because they're like, you know, a lot of them are on drugs, obviously. And, you know, they probably haven't eaten. They get this fucking, you know, plate of fucking heavy, like, noodles or something like that, make them shit their brains out. So.
Yeah. No, I never thought about that. But I don't mean to laugh. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
like,
it's fucked up.
Well, I'm just like, mind is totally blown. I'm saying it's blown from the fact that that's a point of view. Like, I never even thought of that before.
Yeah, I'm like over here trying to help and save the world, and then I'm like making those homeless people shit more over the streets.
If they enjoyed it, though.
Yeah.
Shitting is natural.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I feel that. But, so on, what was I going to say? See, bro, this is why I shouldn't have got high. Before the fucking thing.
It's cool.
The giggles are kicking in.
I'm enjoying myself.
Me too, man. Me too. So preparing for this interview, I was scrolling through your YouTube, bro, and you got some gems on your YouTube, dog. I'm talking about, if you haven't subscribed to DJ Bonix's YouTube and you're looking for
I don't focus on it, and I have a pretty good amount of subscribers.
Yeah, you know, it's good.
I keep updating.
Well, like, you, the content you have are gems. Like, you had this backstage. I remember watching the video, backstage where Mac Miller was, shooting, just fucking around.
The basketball.
It's
pretty funny, right?
Yeah,
and
bro.
And he misses it with the slow motion.
Yeah, it was good.
I was making all that.
That's a gem.
Shit. I remember when someone reached out who was working on big websites at the time. And they were like, I was getting mad hits, but I was just doing it all myself. And I remember they're like, yo, we'll help you. We can run, ads in it. And I was like, I'm keeping it real, man. I don't want that money. And I'm like, who the fuck? Yeah, why didn't I just say yes?
Yeah.
And I was getting like 50,000 unique views. Like, that was a big then, I guess.
That was super big.
And, there were so many times where people could have, like, I think about promoters. Mm-hmm. I used to be cool with $300. Like, I wasn't focused on that. Like, hey, $300 to DJ, when they were charging at the door, like, and taking like a buttload of money.
Right.
So I thought about that actually, like, recently, and I was like, that kind of blew my mind. I was like, damn, they could have paid me more.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Sure.
That's cool.
For sure. Yeah, but you got that great content though.
Oh yeah, the great content.
It's timeless. You know, it's legendary.
It's real too.
You know? Yeah, 100%.
Do you ever see the Will, the Penn State video?
Yeah, for sure. I saw that one too. That's where he was like mad and shit.
Check that video out.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, man.
What's great about that video is that Will, the year before, tried to ask the guy who books the Penn State, what's it called? Whatever their basketball team plays.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, no, Wiz will never play here. And then we sold it out the next year.
Wow.
And that's why Will was Will was acting like,
fuck you. Yeah.
I'm catching myself from saying,
I see it, bro.
Maybe it's not flowing right, but
that's good.
It's good.
That's good.
You got to exercise it.
Yeah, because Will's a Penn State alumni, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. The best part of that video is this guy's picking us up in a van, this runner.
Mm-hmm.
And we're having a conversation. I'm like, you go to Penn State? He's like, yeah, I'm in grad school for physiology or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he was driving us to this venue. And I said to the guy, I was like, Will went to Penn State. I was like, he's a millionaire. And Will was actually like, fuck Penn State. Like, maybe he had a weird experience, but he was talking about he was selling his Penn State football tickets for weed. He's like, I don't care. But it was just ironic, man. Yeah, you know, dude's going to school to be like a nuclear whatever, and Will is like in rap music, and this guy's driving us. And not to say that guy wouldn't find success in that. It's just wild to see the gamut of what used to be the definition of success to like
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, for sure. It's like a it's like life is what is it? God has a hubris, I guess you could say, maybe. Is that am I barking up the wrong tree? There?
Someone look that up and let us know.
It's like
in the
it has
comments.
A sense of humor. Like you think you got it all figured out and then you go down a different path. But yeah, man, I wanted to shout out your YouTube channel. Because is it weird? Because I noticed that, obviously you do interviews. You mm-hmm. interview people. Mm-hmm. You've been interviewing people for a long time. Mm-hmm. Is it weird that, like, people want to interview you?
No. I've done enough interviews. And I know I'm not afraid of the microphone.
Yeah.
So that's half the battle, right?
Yeah.
Some people are...
Get weird.
Just don't know how to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something cool. I had to get used to.
Shy.
Yeah.
You're shy. It's okay.
I'm so shy.
You're not shy.
I am, bro. I've been working on it though. These cameras and shit, they've been helping me. It's like exposure therapy.
Zoom in on this man's face right now.
Yeah, bro, yeah.
Zoom in.
See that? Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah, bro. So you were on the YouTube game early though, man. How did you, like, what sparked you to do that?
The thing is that I never approached it as how people approach it now. Mm. As far as like, I want to make a YouTube channel because I want to monetize it. It was just like, hey, I have opportunity to put, here was my thing. Here's what I understood is that, you could find a million videos of Wiz Khalifa performing Black and Yellow on YouTube, but you can't find a million videos of him eating like a bag of potato chips.
Right.
And I'm not saying that I have a video of him eating a bag of potato chips, but it's just that like really unique content. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what really got me a lot of sort of views was that I was posting things that were different and it wasn't just like this rap lifestyle. And you know, Taylor Gang moved a little different than some of the other blogs that, that were around.
Yeah, for sure.
It was real. It was cool lifestyle. You know, he was never in the studio like, yeah, we're here in the studio.
Yeah, it wasn't scripted or anything.
You were just like in the studio.
Yeah, the day-to-days.
Yeah, they were cool.
Yeah, they were beautiful. That was like, that's like my child. That was like high school for me, bro. I was raised on that shit, bro.
Like, people will stop me in a bar and they'll be like, I grew up watching you, and I was like,
"Is that weird?"
I feel old. No, that's cool.
That's cool.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, so you're cool with like the fame and being around.
Well, I don't like the fame. I guess there's fame. It's hard for me to say that because there's so much that I want to do, and more people who don't know about me. But it's cool because when I was on the radio in Pittsburgh, people know who I was.
Yeah,
and then like I've had people in like Argentina would stop me on the street like, hey, you're Wiz DJ. I mean, they were there in that weekend for the Wiz Festival, but... Yeah.
Is that annoying?
No.
Like, you're Wiz's DJ and they don't say your name?
No.
You're cool with that? All right, cool.
I mean, it doesn't happen.
My man don't have an ego. I love it, man.
It doesn't happen that often. And, I mean, if it just all depends on their approach.
Yeah.
Just gotta be nice.
Yeah. You want some more?
Oh, no, there's still some in there. Should I drink it? Cool. Is there some in your cup?
You have to. Yeah. No, there's nothing in my cup, bro. I'm a functioning alcoholic, bro. So,
all right,
I'll kill the corner, as my aunts used to say. Ooh. There we go. Little tequila, little weed, a little tequila. Never hurt nobody. All right, man. So let's get to the beginning, though. Where did you grow up?
Philly.
You grew up in Philly.
North Philadelphia.
North Philadelphia. Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yep, and then like right when I was around 10 years old, we moved to the burbs.
Mm.
And right around then, like, that's like when family complications and my mom and dad got divorced. And then I went to Pittsburgh for college.
Oh, okay.
And that's kind of like where...
That's where you planted
that whole shit went down.
Yeah, wow. So you're a Filipino, correct?
Yes.
So was there a large Filipino, like,
There's a good group.
Okay.
And we had, it was cool because, you know, I had my... I would say it this way then. I have my white friends and then I have my Filipino community friends.
Yeah.
Because when we were in the burbs,
it wasn't.
When we were living in Philly, it was way more diverse.
Right. Yeah, that's cool, bro. So you went to college. So you grew up in Philly. So what was that like? Was it cool or was it like just regular?
In North Philly specifically, there
it's
was
rough,
like,
right?
Yeah, there was the rough times. My mom and dad are from the Philippines.
Mm.
So they went through trying to acclimate themselves in North Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And so we've been robbed by our neighbors. And I remember specifically like playing and there'd be like drug syringes in like the back, like alleys. But it was cool.
Made the best of it.
Yeah. I mean, they worked in Einstein Hospital, which is like a legendary hospital in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say good. No, it's a good hospital. I was born there, so. And I just found out recently that my dad wasn't there when my mom was born. He was, like, overseas in the Navy.
Oh, really?
Which is wild.
Oh, that's fucked up.
Man. Kind of weird. But, yeah, you know, he was defending our freedom.
Yeah. Oh, so your parents were in the military. That's cool.
Yeah, my dad was in the Navy.
That's cool.
He was retired. I didn't know the difference between, like, when I thought retired just meant, like, people were not in the Navy anymore.
Yeah.
But it actually means like they served a X amount of years.
Yeah, you got to put in that work and then you get the...
That's probably the best thing he did.
You get your benefits and shit. Yeah. That's cool, man. That's cool. So then you landed in Pittsburgh college. What it like?
Pitt.
University of Pitt?
Yeah, so I started as like a business major and then it changed quickly to communications. It went from...
Really?
I thought I was going to be like computer science too for a second, but then it... was communications.
Mm.
And then that was it.
So
and,
why?
And I did the college radio station.
Yeah.
And I like quickly was like the program director the year after. And then I was station manager. I was doing a radio show, which ended up, I was supporting local artists.
Mm-hmm.
And I was DJing in the clubs and the party. So my name was getting around.
Mm-hmm.
And I just DJed all the time.
Dope.
Literally.
Why switch from business to communications?
What sparked that? Because like then in those times in the late 90s and early 2000s, I guess that was more of the path, right? You got to go to college and that was it. So communications was an easy way for me to not have to do all the other shit. Like I failed college algebra.
Why did I twice? Yeah. And you just were in high school doing fucking the same shit.
Ugh.
God, college is a fucking scam, but it worked out for you.
It kind of is a scam, but it puts you in an environment to meet people and to put yourself in social.
Yeah, it's so good socially,
And those clubs matter. I think those clubs and meeting people who do those things because, man, think about like video games. Like colleges have video game like teams and shit
crazy.
Now.
Yeah, chess clubs, all that crazy shit, bro. Yeah, it just shouldn't cost a fucking fortune. Fucking bullshit, bro.
Yep.
Yeah, man. So then you planted your. So you graduated, or did you end up graduating?
That's complicated, but I have my degree. So
I would say complicated.
I'll just say this. I mean, I'll just put it this way.
I would say, bro.
Let's put it this way, so then we don't have to go deep into it.
Yeah.
I was a freshman in '98.
Okay.
And my degree says 2011.
Damn.
But it didn't take that long.
Hey, man, congratulations. Nah, man.
I actually was done on everything around 2005, 2006.
Yeah.
But I owed them a C note and they wouldn't give me my degree until I paid it. And then I paid it and I was just like touring and shit. Like I didn't care. And I went and I had to fill out all this paperwork to do it again. Thanks to this dude, Tom Mizoraka from the Pitt Program Council. And He I was like, oh, I'm going to get my degree. I'm going to frame it. I'm going to give it to my mom. And I remember bringing it home. And she was like, cool. Like, it was like, so I thought she was going to be like, you did it. Like, it was going to be a moment.
Yeah.
And she was like, cool. Yeah. She's really supportive with all the Wiz stuff. And she's supportive of me. So,
But that had to mean a lot to you though. You know, like your parents coming both from the Philippines and then you going to a Division I college and graduating. Like, it had to mean something to you.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, It was 10, 11 grand a year. Yeah. So it was pretty cheap. So I don't have any student loans. Yeah. So that's good.
No, that's good, man. Yeah, I hate school, but I want to do it for my mom. So I figured, like, that's the vibe I got from you. Kind of just wanted to make her happy.
Right.
And then
which is cool.
She didn't share your enthusiasm.
Yeah, she was like, all right, cool. I mean, I was... that's when like it was the height of the Wiz shit. So
really?
I think she was like super happy for me for that. So.
Yeah, it was just a good time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So tell everybody that you probably been asked this question a million times.
Mm-hmm.
For everybody that doesn't know, how did you become Wiz Khalifa's DJ?
So I met Wiz through Edan when Wiz was like 14 and I was like already kind of.
Wiz was 14.
Yeah, he was like at this place called ID Labs in Lawrenceville, Pennsylvania. Edan was like, hey, this dude Cam, he's pretty good. He's better than these guys. And his friends that he could, I guess they used to come and rap after school and record themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wiz eventually like became an intern there.
Okay.
And then they built a team around him, which was Rosham Records.
Mm-hmm.
And I was helping him, like just getting looks, booking him at colleges, playing his songs on the radio when I could. I was working for Clear Channel, which is iHeartRadio now. So it wasn't easy, but I had people who supported me, or I would just do it. And
so you believed in him from the get-go?
For sure. For sure.
What did you see in him as a kid, 14 years old?
Well, I mean, he was putting good music and he could definitely rap. And there was just something about him.
He just had that it factor.
Yeah. I mean, even I've known him for so long. Someone was describing this feeling of, have you ever been around someone who basically like, you get like...
starstruck.
God, I mean, he's my boy, but it's just like, it's not even starstruck. It's like they carry this energy that like, you're just like, and he has that. He has star power. And
for sure. That it factor, bro.
He has it factor. He's got big, big whiz energy.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's unique. Yeah.
So I had a working relationship with him, and I would get him into the clubs that I was DJing at when he was underage. And then eventually there was a point in my radio career in Pittsburgh where I was like, oh man, I'm tired of this. I didn't like the music. And at the time it was like Jason Derulo and Britney, and it was like all at the same time, and Pitbull, and I love, you know, it was all that, and I was like, oh man, it's gotta be better than this. I mean, and think about this, and when I was in college 10 years before that, I was like saying it out loud to myself, like, I want to travel the world and DJ. I said that. I don't know what capacity that was gonna be in. And he went through a few DJs, and then they needed a DJ for a New Year show. I said, sure, I'd do it. And then about 6 months later, they were like, hey, he got signed to Atlantic. Nobody knows. He's coming out with a song called Black and Yellow.
Oh, wow.
We're going to do our first tour bus tour. Do you want to join us? So I had to quit my full-time job with benefits. I was number one afternoons in Pittsburgh on a Clear Channel station, making like a okay salary. And my sister was like, no risk, no reward. And a few other people that I talked to in my life, like D-Double, and they were like, man, you got to go for it. And imagine coming out with Black and Yellow and the Steelers go to the Super Bowl. It's like, what a crazy year. They don't win it, but...
Yeah, they were there.
They were there. And so we did our first tour bus tour. It was like 13, 14 of us in a tour bus. And we would never do that now. But then we were like,
fuck it,
And it was, I seen some shit.
Seen
some shit.
You got to leap, bro. You take that leap of faith.
It was definitely a leap of faith. And I remember immediately, as soon as I quit my job, I was making money DJing in the clubs, and I moved all my shit into like a different spot, like storage basically. And I minimalized myself. And then I like, ironically, my first show was in Minnesota as his official DJ. And I lived, I just lived there for the last 4 years. So then we toured the whole U.S. and sold every show out, and we got to meet all these characters all across the road. And then it was good. It was good.
It's inspiring, bro. I didn't know you like took that leap of faith. Like,
it was crazy. I had benefits, and it was definitely that's someone's dream job. Like, hey, I'm pro you know, music director and an assistant program director at a top market 25 city. I would end my career like that there. But it's cool. I've done radio though in like a bunch of different cities, so I've been blessed to really experience like a good
Both sides of the coin. Not all program directors get to go on tour like that, you know, and DJ. What's tour life like, bro? Because it's definitely been one of my dreams to take an artist. Because originally I come from artist management, right? So I've always wanted to build a build an artist up and go on tour and do those small markets and shit like that. So what's the tour life like, bro?
It just depends. It's exciting, and for it's grueling for some. It could be grueling, like some of the non-sleep schedule and the flights. And I make the most out of it. Like, I squeeze it. So if we're in a city for like 8 hours, like one time we had to, we were on tour, and then we had to go fly to Portugal to do a show, fly there, do a show that night, and fly back to get back on tour. And I had 6 hours between when I got to the hotel and when we had to leave for the show. And I
hit the streets.
Well, it was funny. I called the front desk and I was like, how much is a tour? And they were like 300 US. I was like, oh, that's kind of steep. You know, you get a private driver and they'll take you everywhere. I was like, you know what? I'm going to take my chances with Uber. And this is the first time that I've done this, but
yeah.
So you could feel a driver out.
And I don't know if it was by chance, because this dude, when I tell you the end of the story, it's like, this guy probably never imagined this would ever happen to him. I get in his Uber and I said, hey man, I'm from the US and I'm playing a festival. Mm-hmm. Well, I was like, I felt him out first. I was like, what do you do? And he's like, I'm a musician. I was like, okay.
He's like,
I'm a studio musician. Like, he gets hired to play like the trumpet or the saxophone. And so I was like, look, man, I'm playing this festival. And of course they know the festival because it's big. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm Wiz Khalifa's DJ. And I was like, I'll pay you to just drive me around today. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no need to pay me. And I was like, oh shit.
Hospitality is different down there.
So he drives me all these different landmarks. So I get to see all this shit, take pictures and buy souvenirs. And he can help me speak and make sure I don't get ripped off type shit. Where do we eat? Man. And then I buy him lunch. And then he drops me off. And I was like, meet me in an hour. Mm-hmm. Like, can you take her off for the rest of the night? He's like, sure.
Yeah.
And so screen flips. Is that what they say? And he's watching. He comes with us and he's watching the show on stage that night.
Oh, wow.
And so imagine like you wake up and you're doing Uber and then you end up that night being on stage with Wiz Khalifa. Hey, and so that guy was like super thankful. And I don't even know if I have his phone number or anything, but. Yeah. That's I don't beautiful. Even remember his name.
What a beautiful story, man. That's dope.
I have a few stories like that.
Yeah.
From all around the world. But back to touring's dope because, man, I've been all over the world and I didn't have to pay for it.
Yeah.
And
I got paid.
And imagine hip hop is exclusively American, right? Mm-hmm. So if you go to a place like, I don't know,
Japan,
Australia or that's Japan right. or whatever, like hip hop is exclusively American. So I'm Wiz Khalifa's DJ. Mm-hmm. Wiz Khalifa's here. Like, if Wiz Khalifa's in Vegas, guess what? Every rapper was here this week. You know, it's still special, obviously, but like, there's so much to choose from. And there, it's like, rap came here. Like, when we went to Thailand, it was like, we're here. South Africa, Dubai, Saudi Arabia, they didn't even allow concerts, but they banned them. And in the last like 5 years or so, they've.
Really?
Allow concerts. And we were probably 5th or 6th rap show there ever.
Oh, wow.
And that was an experience.
Yeah.
In a country that is like pretty on lockdown as far as freedoms. I mean, people are happy there and they are super successful, but
different rules.
Can't smoke weed there, you know?
Yeah, different rules. Yeah. Do you ever look, you've been around the world, all these crazy experiences. Do you ever look back now and be like, what the fuck? How did all this happen?
I look at it and I look at it and I'm like, oh, but I'm in this room right now. Mm-hmm. Meaning that it's real, but is it not real? You know, it's like, it's there and all the memories, it's so great. I mean, you know, I've had the dish you have in this city and buy like a t-shirt from here and souvenirs from all over the world. And how can I strategize this like 4 hour window into, experiencing it, going to Amsterdam, smoking weed, South Africa, and motherfuckers wearing Pittsburgh hats. Like, you know, like
that's crazy.
Being in South America and Mac Miller introducing me to Anderson .Paak, and I'm like a huge Anderson .Paak fan. Then that was the last time I saw Mac alive. So touring is amazing, and you get to meet all these people. Like Kendrick Lamar was opening for us. ASAP Rocky was opening for us. This is like wow that you know we've seen these artists get huge. And
you've witnessed hip hop evolve.
Well, it's in a way. Wiz is definitely in like a cool pivot of hip hop. Like that whole like freshman XL class was awesome. Kendrick, Cole,
Epic,
Big Sean, and Wiz.
That's when people cared about XXL. No offense anymore, but
who cares about anything anymore?
Yeah, true. Yeah, man, it's got to be just crazy because just thinking about like where you came from and, you know, you're one generation away from being born in a whole nother country. And now you're like, does that fuck you up mentally sometimes?
Well, I'll tell you, we performed a few years ago in the Philippines.
Whoa.
And a lot of rap music doesn't go there.
Right, right.
Like,
it's a lot of R&B out there.
He's a lot of R&B, but like just these artists don't go to the Philippines.
Right. Why is that? Is there just...
I would say a couple things. Like number one, it may not be as popular. Mm. Two, I don't think people like have there's not that much disposable income to like,
right.
So I took my family to the show in the Philippines and they would never think about buying tickets to go to a festival.
Like,
I mean, now maybe people, but traditionally no, but I was thinking about what are the chances that two people from that island leave the Philippines, meet in America, conceive me. And out of all of these Filipinos that were born in America, I'm the one who gets to come back to the Philippines to perform. And like, I don't, I mean, maybe I'm making it romantic, but to me, I'm like, the magnitude of that is pretty big.
It's huge. Yeah.
A lot of,
is there like a little bit of guilt? It sounds like.
No.
Cool. Like why me kind of thing?
No.
Okay.
Like, I mean, why me and like grateful.
Grateful. Yeah. Have a lot of people from the Filipino community reached out to you? I mean, like you're an inspiration.
Some have.
Yeah, it has to be.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of Filipinos in hip hop like that.
Well, they're probably mainstream more than hip-hop. You think. Definitely mainstream hip hop. Yeah. And I'm not the face. There's obviously a lot of people and especially DJs. There's hella Filipino DJs.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, as far as artists go, well, I guess there are a lot for sure. Definitely. They have their subcultures, but I guess mainstream, let me clarify that before.
No, mainstream.
Filipinos cancel me, bro.
You're right. No. They won't do that.
Yeah, man. What else do we want to talk about, bro?
Whatever you want.
So DJing. So like, where did you start DJing in high school or did
no? I started DJing in college.
Okay, cool.
When
you switched over to communications or before that?
It happened after that. I went to my buddy's place. He introduced me. Actually, my buddy was like, "Hey, we're gonna go meet our friend Scott who lives here, South Bouquet Street." And I walked into their house and there was turntables and I was like, "Can I fuck with those?" And he said, "Yep." And then that was it.
Yeah.
Love at first touch.
Really?
Yeah.
What would you be doing if you weren't DJing and doing music?
I'd probably be like corporate Asian guy. You know
really?
What I mean? Like I have a part anyway, but I'd probably be like rocking it for real and I'd be corporate
in
Asian
the
guy.
Office. Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with corporate Asian guy.
Yeah, for sure.
But that might be me.
And then like getting high as fuck on the weekends and
maybe actually I've been smoking weed for a long time.
Yeah,
shout out to Hardeen,
bro. When did you growing up over there, it's different. Weed has
where like,
over Philly.
Oh yeah,
Pittsburgh. I mean, weed had to be terrible.
I mean, there were times where I went to like shady parts of Philly to buy like a dime bag with a skeleton hologram on it.
Yeah, like smoke at your own risk.
But I remember buying, having a bong and smoking weed and watching Pink Floyd with, Wizard of Oz and shit.
Yeah, hell yeah. No, it's just different now. Weed's on steroids now, bro. Are you careful about what you smoke nowadays?
I've been like a little bit more trying to use it as a tool, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. I mean, and not smoke if I'm going to be doing something that feels really important.
Mm-hmm. This wasn't important because we got high.
Definitely. Well, I smoke weed before Wiz shows, obviously.
I'm just kidding, it's a good experience. Yeah. For sure. But weed makes everything better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the world would be a better place.
But people do abuse it. I mean.
You think so? You think you get addicted to weed?
I think you can want that feeling.
Emotionally. It's emotional addiction, kind of.
Well,
not a physical addiction.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that weed's amazing. And if you use it in a way that really helps you. I do think that people can abuse weed.
Yeah.
I mean, you can like drown in water. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, for sure. I feel like edibles make me feel like I'm drowning just sitting there.
Edibles are, I like edibles, but you can't predict them.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, no, edibles are dangerous, bro. So what do you care about these days? You've accomplished.
What do I care about?
Yeah,
a good question.
You've accomplished so much in music, and you've been around the world. You've pretty much like, I don't want to say done it all. There's always more to do, but you've accomplished so much. You've experienced so much. So at this point in your life, what really gets you going?
All right. Well, that's loaded. So I'll give you a couple. Number one, I'm really enjoying working with Hardeen because I get to empower creatives through marijuana and not marijuana, but through cannabis, whether they use it as for CBD or for leisure. Mm-hmm. And so that's awesome. And to be in that position, to be able to like work with DJs to get them to come to a shop and experience like a premium cannabis experience in Hardeen. Mm-hmm. But so that's a part of the bigger answer, which is help impact people's lives.
Dope.
And I don't say I'm like, I do a lot of charitable stuff. Like I'm currently doing some stuff. I just find ways to be a part of it. And a lot of times it comes to me or I'll create a way. And honestly, it's like being grace for people, helping people out. People are going through shit.
Mm-hmm.
People need love. They need to recognize that the love inside of them. And like, that's really been a focus.
Mm.
Sometimes, I don't know, this is me being over critical of myself, but I don't know if it comes off preachy to people, but I've definitely like to help people.
Mm, give them back, yeah.
Right, but here's what I also understood is that sometimes it comes, I don't like you, the people always be like, preach, and I'm like, no, teach, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That was one.
That was one for a while. Damn, bro, right? You are way under the limit, bro. God damn.
Though. Gonna have to work on that one too. Well, I just want to help impact people's lives. So when I was on the radio in Minneapolis, I would try to use segments of my show to highlight something that mm-hmm. could help people self-reflect, because that's got to be a part of, I think, the platform.
Mm-hmm.
You know, radio hosts, mm-hmm. they wait till someone gets shot. And then they're like, we need to be together as a community. And I'm like, why don't we say that often?
Yeah.
And use 10% of 100% of a platform, mm-hmm. just 10%.
Yeah.
So be a moment of grace for people, having compassion, even an acceptance. And I've been going through things and a crazy journey in the last few years to really put myself in a higher level. Just like right now, using this exercise to not say those words.
It's a challenge.
To me, it's a challenge. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm learning to really create, and I sound like a hippie, but like just deprogram all these subconscious sort of things we learned.
Yeah.
I think that we grew up with such a perfect, preferred sort of culture
mm-hmm.
that I really am learning to like deprogram some of that and that's good. And then also have understanding for people who don't have compassion, or, you know, the world's scary right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of extreme point of views. The political year last year was wild.
Mm-hmm.
Being in Minneapolis with George Floyd and all that last year was pretty wild. So I don't take that lightly that I happen to live there and I was able to be on the radio and like help push love.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thankful for that opportunity. And yeah, that's really the goal. That's really the goal. But then also the goal for myself is I wanna just now focus on wellness for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my goals, I guess I'll say them out loud, is to just like, I think that there's a lot of vices that happen in Vegas.
Yep.
And so that tells me that there's like this whole other energy available, because I feel like, you know, it's yin and yang, right? So and that's cool. Like, yo, let people have fun. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I want to try to like, I'm going to try to like,
we need you
work out.
We need
more,
your love in yoga, Vegas, bro.
Yeah. I want to try to be a light in the Sin City, but I'm also, you know, watching people and see how they move and just kind of respect what's going on here already.
Mm-hmm.
That, by no means am I here. I'm not a DJ first here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with Hardeen first,
mm-hmm.
Wiz and Hardeen. Mm-hmm. They're giving me the opportunity to do both, which is great.
Yeah.
And I think that with this platform, I mean, I'm having a freaking blast, dude. In the last week and a half, I've got to tour the Raiders Stadium.
Dope.
I met Ice Cube.
Oh, really?
I met a bunch of UFC fighters, porn stars.
Oh, really? I need to roll with you, man. I need to be rolling with
Sal
you.
Sal won $800. Oh, Sal took me to his uncle's pizza shop called Good Pie.
I didn't know. Oh, that's his. Hold on, Good Pie?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's right.
I didn't know that was his arch district. I know. Yeah, I know.
So they have like pictures of all the grandmas on the wall.
Yeah.
And I DM'd them, I didn't DM them. I put it on my stories and I was like, I want to put my grandma on this wall. And so they told me to send them a picture of my grandma.
Oh, shit.
So
epic.
I want to surprise my mom.
Epic.
I'm going to take her there to get pizza.
Dope.
And then she's going to see her mom on the wall. I think that's going to be crazy.
She thinks she's going to cry. That's a cry moment for sure.
Yeah. And then pizza.
Yeah. If you ever need to go any underground spots in Vegas, bro, you got my number.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I got you.
Sounds creepy.
I'm born and raised, bro.
Oh, yeah. Well,
my mom.
What's that mean?
My mom was born and raised here, bro. We got roots here, man.
What's that mean? Underground, like furniture building spots.
I got some places I could take you that you may or not know that you're there. Yeah, there's a lot of old, you know, we have a rich mafia culture here. Mm. So there's a lot of, you know, spots that are still up, still the same.
Really?
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago here, right, man. Yeah, it seems like it because it's corporate now. It's all strip is like the adult Disneyland. But when I was growing up here, it was not like this at all. So
I mean, I'm not saying what you're saying is dark, but I'm sure there's a dark side to Vegas. Huh? Like there's probably like a real dark.
Oh, yeah. But it's like nostalgic now. It's not like dangerous. It's just like, you know, living. It's like stepping into a time machine, you know, going back to
the
old
days. You got
to
take me, man.
For sure. Oh, yeah. Okay. Say less, bro. Okay. Say less, bro. Okay. So as a DJ, are you tapped into, obviously you're tapped in, but what do you, let me ask you this. What do you think of the state of hip hop today?
I mean, this is a broad question because you can't control it. And,
exactly.
And so I can't be angry about it, but I wish that just people would just recognize, like if I were to say something pretty general, I wish people would recognize that it's a culture and culture's influence. Mm-hmm. And so I'm definitely down with people expressing themselves. However, I do, however, see that there's a lack of intelligence in some of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that people aren't making money from that lifestyle.
Yeah.
But have your wits. I was listening to Snoop Dogg and all that ratchet 90s. But I didn't make terrible choices. I'm just saying, like, I like hip. I mean, it's cool. Just like seeing how big it is. Yeah. Like Kanye taking over stadiums and Drake having all, like, it's cool to see.
You just wish the standards were higher, I feel like, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah. Maybe. Lyrically, I mean, there's all types of people. Listen, all types of people like shit. Do you see how many categories there are in like a porno website?
Yeah.
Well, think about that in the music shit. Like some of those categories aren't for you, bro.
Exactly.
Right?
I feel it, yeah.
And so but it exists. Mm-hmm. And so I can't really, I mean, I like that there's all this great music coming out and and I love that J. Cole's doing what he's doing. The Tyler album was pretty cool. I really liked the production on the Tyler album. Griselda, gotta love the Griselda sound and that thing going on.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of great music coming out.
Yeah, there's a lot of great music. So I mean, state of hip hop, I think it's cool. It's creating. Yeah. It's not for me to define.
Exactly.
Yeah. I just have to not find it convenient for me to complain about it.
Exactly. Yeah, I had to catch myself too doing that. Like, sounded like the old bitter dude. I wish everybody was 50 Cent, you know, like in that kind of shit. And it's like, you know, it's culture, it's music, it's art, it's forever evolving. So it's never gonna be the same ever. You know, I'm always gonna find parts where I don't like it. So, you know, I just have to be open to it and not be mad at people, like you said, expressing themselves.
I mean, if they're complaining as much as they're creating, then I'm not going to be mad at that. But if you're just straight complaining and not creating or get, one time I saw one of my homies basically say, still not a fan of this person. And I and I wrote back to him. I said, well, tell us who you are a fan of.
Yeah.
Share that with me. and then he subtweeted me like shortly after. He like subtweets, like, I listen to whatever I want. I don't have to tell. I don't explain. I like,
you need a hug, buddy.
Well, it's just, that's what the internet's doing. Mm-hmm. People are sensitive.
Yeah, for sure.
And
No, I feel you, bro. It's a weird, because that's the big thing is internet is now super involved in hip hop, and you know it moves certain, you know, like we said, we like to look at likes, we like to look at views and all that, and sometimes that moves the needle a little bit more than it should.
But and, again, it's like you just have to. You have to block all that out.
Yeah.
Because analyzing that is like some sort of analysis paralysis. Yeah. That's where I'm at right now.
I feel
like, so trust me, I was the dude on Twitter that used to like be like, keep it real, motherfuckers. Yeah. Like, remember I was telling you about how the website and I didn't capitalize on that? That was me being like, nah, man, I'm doing this for real Wiz fans. I'm like, you should have got that fucking banners.
Yeah. No, I feel you. Are we good? All right. So do you like search for new music or are you up on TikTok or
I don't want to disappoint anyone, but I listen to like audiobooks and
good.
I kind of like
disappoint.
Yeah, I mean I drove from this is gonna sound absolutely bonkers, but I drove from Austin, Texas recently to Cincinnati and didn't listen to one song.
Beautiful. It's good for your brain.
It's weird.
It's good for your brain.
Yeah, it's good. And I've in my spare leisure time, I try not to. I listen to like a lot of music without words, mm-hmm. because like good, right good. Now, I don't really want to be influenced by mm-hmm. other people's ideas.
Yeah.
I want to be able to feel the music how I want to feel. It sounds weird, but it's just it's all exercises for me. I'm like, I don't have my ear and my brain can't relax. So I listen to a lot of like instrumental shit, lo-fi playlists and shit.
No, it's good. It really, your brain power is underestimated when you're growing up and you're younger. You don't know, you don't realize how much like what you're listening to and what you're reading influences your thought process and how you feel.
I mean,
and so bro, I feel you. Audiobooks are good.
Totally. I mean, I used to shit with headphones on and listen to music all the time.
I wish
I was there. Mm-hmm. I wish I was that guy. Cause maybe it'll probably be a little bit helpful for the DJ set, I guess. But I mean, I pay attention to music. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
I'm being super overcritical because there's gods out there that go the distance and I'm not.
Yeah.
But
there's other sides of you besides music.
I'm evolving. And that's what I'm saying is that right now, being in this position with Hardeen and working in cannabis and I'm actually a TV host in Minneapolis right now and just doing different things. It's such a spice of life and to change and to take a risk. This is the first time I've ever in maybe 15 years, didn't find a full-time radio job.
Oh.
So picking this job, with Hardeen is a total pivot to marketing. And even after last year and COVID, I didn't have gigs. There was no Wiz gigs and there's no nightclubs, but there's weed.
Right.
And thank God for Twitch. That was helpful for a lot of DJ careers. So this is a great opportunity for me and I'm having a fucking blast. Like I said, it's in 1 week, I went to, what did I do? Riz the Raider Station, met Ice Cube, met Eazy-E's son last night.
I bet you that job is so natural for you because everybody already knows you. You know what I mean?
It's a cool space to explain because tell me who has experience with being able to empower people with cannabis.
Yeah.
Like no one's, I'm not, to be able to like have, use people's trade and to be able to amplify cannabis.
Yeah.
And get paid for
it. It's beautiful.
Or, It's a new space.
Can't complain.
So to work with artists who for all these years have been, we were talking about how Wiz took like the kick in the balls a lot for the weed thing. You know, he was getting arrested. He was, now it's like weed's normal.
Trailblazer, bro.
Yeah. So it's cool. Mm-hmm. Cannabis industry. And shout out to Hardeen for giving me the opportunity for trying to come with like a cool, sexy approach.
Yeah.
And to support the culture.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. Hardeen got it dialed in, man. They fuck their marketing shit. Everything they do is just on
pretty tasteful.
Top of the cream of the crop.
There's people taking from us, so just pay attention.
Yeah, bro, for sure. No, you guys are. I mean, just as an outside perspective, I'm not involved with Hardeen at all. But I've been over there a few times. A lot of my buddies work over there, and they do the best job. You know what I'm saying? They have the top dispensary in the city for sure.
I haven't been to many. And the ones in Vegas, I should say, the ones I've had just felt a little, I mean, it could be for someone else. Again, there's different categories.
It
could be for someone else, but I like the environment they try to build and I'm having a lot of fun connecting a lot of dots and supporting a lot of people who may not drink alcohol, who have used cannabis. It's great.
Yeah.
This is, I feel so
happy. Yeah. Well, it's just got to be refreshing to take on like a different position like that. Keep you on your toes a little bit.
Certainly.
Challenging.
Yeah. And, but all the tools that I learned and everything that I've done is coming in so handy, whether it's communication or meeting people. And it's been so many great people that have come back around and we're like, wow, Bonix is there. And so it's great. And then to also be a part of DJing here in Vegas, like man, that's like a side effect, and I love, and I do that the best. I think.
Yeah, Wiz is always out here, so it just it's just like perfect for you guys.
I'm so sure, yeah, and I'm getting to know the spots. People gotta reach out to me. Definitely want to find like hiking spots and any nature.
I got
things,
you, dog. Yeah. I got you.
Yeah,
I'll be in the mountains, bro.
This guy got
I'm
everything.
A mountain man, bro.
Build tables.
Yeah, dog. I go hiking with my dog all
mafia.
The time.
Oh, you go. Okay.
Yeah, I'm super into every. Like I'm like I said, my I'm come from an Italian family, so my you know my grandpa's from Italy. They actually from Harrisburg. My grandparents are from Harrisburg.
Are they Steelers fans? Oh
well,
Eagles
yeah,
fans?
You know Steelers all day, all day. A lot of my family back there work for. Steelers organization. But then we moved out here. And then when you have my last name, you know, in the 80s.
What's your last name?
Moretti. Wow. Yeah. So when you, so when you have that last name in the 80s and all that, my grandpa was a contractor. And yeah, so, you know, I'm very, I could take you to a few spots, my guy, for wow. sure. I would love to. It'd be an honor.
Have you killed someone before?
Bro, you know, I don't know. Do I look like I'll kill somebody?
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm like, this is like my cover up. This is my alibi. I'm just a podcaster, man. Yeah, man. And a wood builder. You feel me? Yeah, man. Well, it's great to have you, bro.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Let me get you out of here, bro. This was such an honor to meet you, bro. You're such a great dude.
Let's do it again, man. We can doors go forever.
Always, yeah,
we can
my
go
doors,
forever.
Yeah, my door's always open.
Have you built the door, though?
No, I have built doors before. Yeah. I can build a door. Yeah. You need a door?
I'm actually.
Yeah.
Sev one needs a door.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Does he want it to slide or you want it on hinges, bro?
His doors are off the hinges. So.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it, man. Sev, thanks for being welcoming and having me here at the podcast. If you need all your cannabis needs, go to Hardeen. Make sure you follow me at DJ Bonix, the heavy hitter DJ at DJ Bonics. And come by the shop if you've been to Vegas before, if you've been to Vegas for the first time, reach out to me and I will personally take you around. It's not a big place.
No, I know. You would think like...
Someone described it though as like an Apple store for weed.
Beautiful. Perfect.
The bud tenders there know exactly... Like these girls like know exactly what the fuck they're talking about.
And they're hot. And they're super hot. Just saying.
Hey, no comment. I work there.
Yeah,
you know what I
said it. I said it.
I work there.
Shout out to the Hardeen girls, baby. Yeah. Well, it was great having you, bro.
Thank you, man.
My door's always open, like I said. And yeah, till next time, man.
I appreciate it.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You. Cheers. Did we finish the bottle? Or what? Can
gone,
we finish
brother.
It then? That's
bottle's
it.
Gone,
you did
brother.
It?
Bottle's gone, brother.
Wow.
Like if
me. Look at that. There's a little bit there.
That?
Hold on.
Yeah,
there's a little
it.
Bit of that. Thanks to the team, too.
Shout out Riz. Shout out to Ness. Shout out Waterhole Kingdom. DJ Bonix, y'all. Till next time.
Thank you.
Peace.
All right. This is sad. We're in Vegas. This is sad. Hold on.
This is sad. That was like a. All right. Good.
Ugh.
One for the road.
It's the East Square Podcast. Bing.